Welcome back, welcome back, new you maniacs.
Take two. Wait.
Take two, take two. Nah, let's just roll with it. This will be a memorable one. Something, something, spinner rack, something, something, season four, new universe. Hey, where are your hosts?
Steven with Psi-Force number 22 and
Andy, thankfully, only talking the backup story, apparently, with how eloquent I'm doing today. So. But yeah, 1986, our new universe, so long ago, was launched as an imprint from Marvel Comics, dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics and world building. The original idea being the world outside your window with real-time progress, which we still have, and greater realism, questionable. After the first year, some books were canceled, although we're seeing most of their characters in other places by now, and the remaining books have gotten consistent creative teams, had some origins streamlining, and becoming more action-oriented as the new universe is trending towards militarization in the wake of the world-shaking disaster, the Pit, also known as the Black Event. Since then, we've also seen the US government drafting paranormals and possibly gearing up for some kind of war. So,
Wow.
right?
This is definitely a lot going on.
Right. We shall see. But yeah, as always with our podcast, you can follow along with us each week, which at this point you really ought to, just since all these things are coming together. And we'll go through each comic, the order they hit the spinner rack, or you can still just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite.
No judgment.
No judgment. Just if you're going to download it, listen to it. Of course, if you downloaded it and didn't listen to it, you're not going to hear me tell you what to do anyway. So,
But they
yes.
count for our numbers, right?
I don't know. We can tick up our numbers from abysmal to, statistically there. But yeah, we've also been hard at work at, and you should take the season four trivia challenge. In real time, we're just finishing that up, but by the time you get this, it'll be there waiting for you. You can also find us on X at Kickers Inc.
X marks the spot. That's right.
Right. For people to argue about things, but not us, just fun content. But yeah, this week we finally get back to Psi-Force and finally get back to some Thomas Boyd. But Psi-Force are at least originally a group of teenage paranormal runaways bound together by a psychic entity called the Psi-Hawk, now split up and on the run from both sides of the Cold War. If they can't elude the draft by hiding in Canada, are they going to cut it in the army? Right, that's what we'll find out.
All right, and this week is Psi-Force number 22. Drafted into military service, Thomas Boyd must undergo a psychiatric evaluation by none other than Nightmask. Use a number two pencil there, Thomas. No, fill in each oval carefully. No, it's much better than that. But Nightmask has been having some problems of his own since Pittsburgh was destroyed. How can he evaluate Thomas's sanity when he isn't even sure of his own? Written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Ron Lim, and inked by Mike Witherby.
All right. Oh, maybe if you're a little crazy, you can diagnose crazy better. We'll
Or at
see.
least you can voice over crazy better. I don't know.
We also have a bonus backup story, which is honestly super unexpected. Not unexpected to get the backup story, but unexpected for who the character is. So, I mean, is that mystery and you find out, or can we mention it? What do you think?
I think it's fine to go ahead and give people a taste of what's coming.
Yeah,
Good.
Mutator, a Mutator backup
What?
story. The guy who changes into different things sometimes daily, side character from DP7, we get a whole little section on him. So,
Oh man. Yeah, the first couple were like the remainders of Kickers Inc.
a weird
and
story about
Codename
survivors of the
Spitfire.
pit all turning into Pit monster.
Yeah, so now we did the pit monster, and now we've got Mutator, who's not a member of DP7. So they're kind of branching out into ancillary characters. Interesting.
We're just throwing backup stories for whatever they feel like it and whatever books they feel like it. So who knows? Maybe there's a plan here. But it's nice to kind of follow up on that. Also, there's a fresh new universe news with timeline, some interesting news, and we might not get to it this week, but some Lee Weeks related info. It
Nice.
was Lee Weeks, right? Yeah, Lee Weeks.
Yeah.
Sneak peek, he has a beard.
Yeah, he's somehow not quite what I expected. But good.
Yeah.
So we will dive right into Psi-Force number 22, which is cover dated August 1988, and we believe hit the stands April 26, 1988. So, as with most of these, we books now have a bit of a inside front cover background about the new universe, about the book, the main characters, and let's say the last paragraph was, "Now, believing his friends are dead, Thomas Boyd has been drafted into military service. Pressed into military service might be a better word for it,
Yeah.
although." I mean, I'm not quite sure if that's even possible at this point in history, but okay. At Fort Benning, an army base for paranormals weeded out of the nation's draft, Boyd will confront his deepest nightmares.
I feel like we
So.
could understand like the government making the argument of like these are extraordinary times and extraordinary situations, so maybe we bend the rules of civil freedoms a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think in the 80s they were as like into that, but yeah, now they yeah, anything goes. Yeah, whatever. Go crazy.
Yeah,
Okay.
like last we saw Thomas, he was on the run with Stassi and Kathy, but then they all got, captured and potentially killed.
Yeah, let's see. Kathy was shot. Stassi, I forget. Was she just drained of energy or something by overdoing it? And Thomas was captured.
Right.
So we'll see. As we'll see, well, let's just jump into it, I guess.
Do it.
So let's see. It came out, and the cover is an interesting sort of a psychedelic background, and in front of it an evil looking night mask who is holding towards the viewer a picture in a frame, and it's kind of like a family portrait, except it's got a lot of the dream imagery we're going to get into in the story here. We've got Thomas's family, and it's sort of him looking normal, we'll see a brother who's in an army uniform holding a gun to Thomas's head, a father who's in a pile of cash, a mother who's just sort of a lifeless mannequin, and a sister who's a skull face. And
Classic.
there's a some writing at the top of the portrait: Thomas Boyd, haunted by Night Mask.
Man, I thought Night Mask was a good guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Andy showed the characters in the draft to his family, and they mostly, what was it? They thought Night Mask was too obviously a villain.
Yeah, he was too scary looking.
It's interesting. Turning the page, we get a splash page, which is pretty similar, honestly. It's kind of a blank magenta background. And another scary looking night mask, but this time he's a puppet master. And on the strings, we have the puppet is Thomas Boyd. And there's a word balloon to night mask, the kick inside, which we assume to be the title of the story. Looking at like some of the comic databases, they said there was no title, but assume that's a reasonable title for it. So we'll
Yeah, I
go with
spent a
that.
little energy on that one just because it seemed like such a strange phrase.
Phrase. Yeah, did you find the Kate Bush song?
Yeah, but it doesn't really seem relatable.
Yeah, that is I didn't actually listen to it, but like the description, there's a book, a song by Kate Bush that came out in 78, it says, her first album, and she's a very young woman at the time. But the themes of this of and lyrics of that song don't really seem to relate, or if they do, the story's much uglier than we thought, I guess.
Yeah, it involves brother, sister, love, and impregnation.
Yeah.
Thus, the kick inside, I'm assuming, is like a baby
It's yeah, a
kicking
little too
and
literal there or something,
suicide.
but
And I mean, like the Kate Bush go-to music video is like weird her dancing too. So like I was trying to see like, was there some copied imagery, some of this weirdness that we get in this comic, like did the artist or the writer, was they really into Kate Bush or something, but nothing really obvious came out.
yeah, the thing was in the story that like the song that actually kept going through my head was INXS's "The Devil Inside."
Yeah, that would make more sense, but
I almost wondered if they changed it at some point, like that was an early draft, and they're like, "Oh, we can't use this, or it's too close, or something."
Was the timing work on that one, or was the in excess
Let's
later?
take a quick look.
That would be my question. In excess to me screams like 1990, but I could be way off in my head there.
Says released in 87,
Oh,
so it's
okay.
just ahead of, is very topical actually.
But yeah, that would have made a lot more sense.
Well, it's
Yeah, it's
question for the ages.
such a strange picture.
Yeah, so again, Night Mask as this muha whatever. But I don't know. It's a there's a I'm getting like more of like a horror theme going through the new universe here lately, so but we will jump on into the story in page two, where it's a kind of a beach scene, perhaps a 4th of July. You've got people at the beach, and there's like a flyover by jet aircraft and I think fireworks, and the Statue of Liberty is out in the out the ocean, and it's not, don't see New York around you, but and then there's a recurring motif that we have through this whole book, which is that the clouds look like Stassi's face show up in the
Oh,
clouds.
geez. Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that's who it was. I'm like, who is that?
I mean, several times we will see it. So, we will go into the word balloons that the there's some small figures speaking. It's a Boyd family summer, isn't it, Jane darling? It certainly is. Look at Trip go. The boy's a chip off the old block, isn't he, darling? He certainly is. And then we have Night Mask sort of jumping in. Hoist the mizzen mast, drop the anchor, aye, ye scurvy landlubbers. What do you think, Tripper? Handles like a dream, aye, ah. More like a nightmare, matey.
Keeping in mind that Night Mask is like a weird cross between like Plastic Man and the Joker at this point, where he's like a spiral thin body and just his head kind of sticking out and like a crazy large mouth. So it's like weird cartoonish psycho Night Mask.
He's a little edgier than he used to be, just looking for clues to your psychosis. Now he is putting them there, I guess. Watch the perfect tack he takes, Thomas. Incredible, isn't he? He certainly is. So we have this sort of father figure that's watching the, another man who's in military uniform, which will take to be Thomas's older brother, who's out there sailing. So his father is like applauding this, and Thomas is just a young boy in this sort of dream vision. This father keeps sort of like money is just pouring out of him every time he talks, like wads of cash go flying out. And he keeps kind of with a sort of preppy, waspy, accent or something that he's doing. Yeah. Chip off the old block. Thomas, as a small boy, is asking this French maid for a glass of lemonade. And instead of drinking stinking lemonade, why don't you mind your little sister? There's something weird about how she looks too, but I'm not quite sure what it's supposed to mean. And Thomas says, "Alyssa, want to play? I'm gonna bury my head in the sand, Tommy. You can't help." And yeah, she's still skull-faced, which she's like a little girl playing at the beach, except
Yeah,
like
and
a
like the
death
hair
hanging
makes it
over
creepy,
beach.
like she's got little girl hair, but like an empty skull kind of thing. But yeah, I think they're going for like the dad is utterly ignoring Thomas, doesn't even, respond when he asks him for a drink. And then he goes to the maid who's got like a weird silvery face.
Yeah, French maid sort of father favors the brother, mother doesn't seem too involved, and the little sister he likes, but there's something ominous about gonna happen to there, we think. So Thomas thinks to himself he'll go do it himself. He doesn't need anyone. Nightmask pops his head out of the sand. Who are you? Your worst nightmare come to life, kitty. Your happiest dream ever. Thomas runs away. Come back here, you little brat. Come here. I'm here to play in your dream. He continues kind of chasing Thomas. We can play all kinds of fun dream games if you want, Tommy. Ever since old Pittsburgh went kablooey, I've been able to let the real me come out sometimes. See? And Thomas is like, you're weird. I don't like you. That's cool, buddy.
You
I
leave
don't
Walt
like me
Thomas.
either. You speak for all of us. No. Listen, we're in this together, whether you dig it or not, like it or not. Dig? No, you're scary. I don't like you.
Yeah,
So
there's also like
he.
weird panels where, like, as he's chasing him, he like impales himself on a picket fence and just kind of pulls it out of his like void symbol in his chest. And then when he says, like it or not, dig, he like digs up dirt and starts munching on like dirt clumps. It's just super bizarre.
So he says, you got to stretch your imagination, you brain dead little Harwich Port wimp, which I was thinking was Hyannis Port, one of those Bush or Kennedy compounds, but I am told by our research department that is an actual place, Harwich
Yeah, right. I
Port.
mean, this is the new universe. This is taking place in America, so none of these made up towns. Yeah, what did it say?
He.
A small, affluent seaside town in Massachusetts in the Nantucket Sound area.
Right, in that Cape Cod, except over towards Nantucket side. So probably a pretty affluent is right. You know, never been, so we'll assume this is all like a normal growing up experience for a family in Waspy New England at the time. Why not?
Everybody's got a skull head, little sister.
The little boy Thomas runs into this house, and then we get some imagery that I'm not even quite sure what's going on. He runs past a room full of ghosts or something. These figures are all in conflict. You see, like a Conan type fighting a cowboy shooting someone, maybe an army guy shooting each other. And it's like, I'm not quite sure if these are like ancestral memories or just
I was
weird
thinking like
image.
living room, little kid, violent TV shows kind of stuff. Like he saw that and maybe that messed with him a little bit. Like, I don't know. A little
I'll
nervous
get it.
kid and like daddy's watching his action shows or something. I don't know.
There's Thomas says, what is this? What are they doing in the living room? Daddy's gonna be mad. Don't let those boyos upset with you, Tommy. They don't take prisoners, you know what I mean? Says Nightmask. Now we're in a room, like they're well, somewhere in the Boyd house. We've got a sort of a bar, well-stocked bar. We've got a portrait of Rodstvow over the fireplace. We've got another portrait of Stassi sort of on the other side of the panel. And we've got Potiphar from the Medusa web shooting Kathy, who's laying on the ground. And he's like, the boy's like, why does Potiphar keep shooting Kathy?
We don't know.
You have no idea.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, Nightmask is here's the top of the charts. Legend in his own mind. Let's have a warm hand for rockin' rowdy Rodstvow. And he continues. So Thomas is he's scary too. Why is everyone so scary looking? Tough world out there, Tommy. You know, Tommy likes fighting as much as you do, don't he? He's got that little black knot inside him kicking harder than a soccer player with jock itch. Tell him about Stassi. Tell him about how he left her to die. It's the
Keep
second
in mind,
one.
every time you scream, your mic cuts out. I don't think it can handle it. They can't handle that kind of the real sound.
Oh man, okay, I'll try to keep it within normal bounds here, but
Right.
so we wake up. Thomas has got the electrodes attached to him. He's shirtless with fatigue pants, and he's in one of those examination rooms, and he's I know you're behind that glass, Remsen. You're not hiding from this one. So we see Keith Remsen, aka Nightmask, in one of those like behind the mirror rooms, and Keith is also waking up and remarking on how there's so much pain and anger in him. If he can't control it inside himself, how's he ever going to manage in the real world? And then Thomas breaks through the window. I want you, Remsen.
Same way we all do, Keith. We push it down until eventually it boils up and you explode in a fit of rage. Honestly, I struggle with the images here just because of all the shaved head versions of the characters. So like Keith Remsen with the short buzz cut, he looks like a 35-year-old or like Jerry Seinfeld or something.
Yeah, it is made we saw that in the draft. It makes everyone it yeah, it screws with their that the images we get and our expectations of them somehow. And so now it just becomes like hair color. So it's all like the colorist that keeps them separate.
Right. That combined with like having not seen characters in a while and something like that can makes it a little wacky, but
Keith does still have that moon-shaped scar on his forehead, although it's not glowing in this that we can see. But so these two, I don't know, assistants pull Thomas off of Keith. Stay off him, Private Boyd. Are you nuts, Boyd? He's a superior officer. We're about the same age now that I think about it. So Keith never went to college either. So, you know. Really, what's superior, my butt? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Anyway, so
Maybe got his name in a publication or something.
oh man, I wish that's all you needed. Now the Keith starts saying, "No, not now." And the next panel, like the there's like the instruments become look like monsters, and there's things are sort of moving around. And Keith yells at everyone, get out now. I can't control myself. Close your eyes. Don't look. They're waking dream projections. Don't look. Close your
Okay.
eyes. It'll disappear. And then there's a huge, like, wave of water that comes and washes them all away.
Yeah, like in the real world, Keith like knocks over the water cooler, it looks like, and then, but yeah, this is new, right? This is not something that Nightmask generally does.
No, he's not known for doing anything outside of dreams, but it appears that He's getting weirder in dreams and outside of dreams. He's
Yeah, it
projecting
seems like they
things.
were aiming. They must have really just been aiming to kind of reinvent the character a little bit. Like, hey, we want to use this guy. What can he do? All he can do is kind of hang out in people's dreams and learn about them. So now, you've got like a creepy dream self and all and these like waking hallucinations, and they're kind of making him, I don't know, more impactful, I guess, or just like something that can
I'm not sure if
be a
it's
little more
like,
action.
yeah, up to like a combat skill yet, but it's like certainly getting closer. And it's actually kind of funny because I was saying the Lindsay that they met up in Canada or Seattle, didn't, an interesting power, but not one you could use in combat. And Keith, you would say about the same, but you're like he's now kind of developing
Yeah.
along those lines.
But
So
maybe she could do recon for like bomb strikes or something. It's like, oh, I know this guy, and right now he is, in this building.
Yeah, I think as I said, there's also the black event, possible second wave of mutations as, a hand wavy explanation for what's going on here. But
Right. But of course, Keith still needs to take a nap next to somebody who's sleeping to do anything. So,
that's his number one skill, and he's never going to let that go. Don't think he's not going to take a nap on command, because
got
without
pretty
that,
good at it, like
who am
watching.
I? He asks himself, who am I?
Can nap anytime, any place. A lot of people
So,
would be jealous of that skill.
he tells him it's all just a hallucination, you'll be fine, but Thomas is still pretty mad at him. Keith says he was enough threats, Private. Sit down. I was doing my job. I didn't think it would go as badly as it did. Speaking of which, how did you know I was in your dream? I've linked minds with other paranormals, some people I used to know. Guess I'm just sensitive to someone poking around inside my head. These friends of yours, says Keith. They include these girls, Anastasia Inushin and Catherine Ling. The ones in your dreams, the ones who died when you were captured, the ones you failed to help.
Jeez, stick it to him, why don't you?
Psi Force number 20. So Keith has a file on them there, but we've been told in Psi Force number 21 that they're alive,
Right.
right? So I'm not quite sure why they would
Yeah, he's not
want to
telling the
lie.
army straight, perhaps.
I mean, is the army lying to Keith? And I don't know. Yeah. So, or did the Medusa web
Is there
keep
any
them?
particularly good reason
No.
why they would hide that they were still alive either, though,
I don't know. I mean, you can. I mean, this is the thing, is like how under everyone's control are the paranormals? Are they just like meant to be robots, like that you command in the army? Or are you kind of well, we captured you, but we'll give here's your deal. You can have a nice life working in the army, or you can risk yourself out there in the cold,
Or rods to vow with the poor Russians, where they're just like hoping that they can point him in the right direction so he doesn't kill Russians.
yeah. So I'm yeah. So Thomas is even more upset because of this, though, obviously. So, and he would blame himself since he was with them both when they were captured. So if he's thinks that he's the last survivor, even angrier. Yeah, he starts yelling, "Shut your face, Lieutenant. You don't know anything about what really happened from your stinking files. You have no idea what it's like losing the only people that you care about, being helpless to stop it. You know how much that hurts? More than you'll ever know, Boyd. Yeah, he drags out the old night mask number one. Lost my parents to a terrorist explosion. I lost my sister. Wait, what?
Yeah, wait a minute. She's right there in the picture in a wheelchair.
I
Without
lost my
legs, she
sister's
was dead
ability to
to
walk,
me.
or Is there like a problem with Teddy you haven't been telling us here, Keith? I've lost more than you'll ever have, Private.
Questionable.
Yeah, so Keith continues, ever since I was drafted into the army, I've been following orders, psych profiling paranormals, telling the brass who's been naughty and nice. And the funny part is, sometimes I'm not even in control of my dream persona, my night mask. Real funny, huh? I'm going into your mind again, Private. Ooh, not only because it's my job, but because I think I can help you. Help me do what? Preserve your sanity. Drags out. So
He's
he
awfully
drags out
willing
some.
to go back under after Keith is just explaining like how he has no control over what he's
No
doing.
control over this nightmare thing that projects into the real world. Anyway, I'm going to shoot you up full of drugs now. Roll up your sleeve.
It'll be
Oh, good. You're
fine.
not wearing your shirt. Okay. Oh, you know that by now. Keith thinks to himself, are you going to be able to control yourself, or are you going to let this manifestation of your subconscious continue to terrorize your patients? God help me, I'm going. So we're back inside. Nightmask is sitting at a desk, and we see Thomas's father yelling at him. Nightmask is saying, crazy, that's what it is. What it is, Henry, old chap. The boy's 13 years old and he hasn't accomplished a dang burn thing. His father is yelling at him. No, Thomas, your mother and I aren't upset, but old Tripper never brought home a report card with a B on it, did he? Certainly not. And you find that satisfactory, young man? A B means second best. It tells me that Thomas boy doesn't want to be the best he can be. Money is just pouring out of his mouth at this.
Well, really, I mean, like a couple of kids could have got an A. There's no guarantees, even second best.
It's true. Sorry, father, but I'm having a little trouble with algebra. Your mother finds that unacceptable, as do I. Have the boys ever been second best at anything? No, they haven't. And further, and then he looks up. Tripper, how are you doing, son? Are you home from the Pentagon? Just what I wanted to tell you, that I was promoted to the Special Forces Unit, father. Trip is hang gliding in on a huge American flag. Wonderful news, Tripper, isn't it, Thomas? Certainly is. Wonderful news. He wanders off to where his mother is watching TV, except the TV is just a picture of Stassi again. Mother, can we talk? And the French maid is there. Your mother is stinking drunk. What do you think? She would say, talk to your father, don't you think? I think you do. I keep going into a Spanish slash Italian with her, so
She's supposed to be French? I don't know what the accent makes no sense.
if mother asks, I'll be playing with Alyssa if she asks. He wanders off, and there's another battle which actually looks like future because it's Rodstvow versus Psi-Force and Medusa Web, I think.
Yeah.
We've got Wayne, Lindsay, Kathy, Tyrone, and then in the back, maybe Troublemaker, Backfire, some of the others. So he goes off and finds again the little sister. Alyssa, am I a coward? No, but you are a big baby. Tee-hee, baby, baby, stick your head in gravy. Push me. She's on a swing set. Can't be too much of a baby if I can push me. Push harder, baby. I don't want to push too hard. No more baby pushes. So he pushes her real hard and she just goes flying. No. He lands. There's like a snap and neck, and the whole world is kind of crashing around her. The father rushes in. What did you do to her, Thomas? Did you hurt her? And Trip is landing off of his hang glider. He certainly did, father. Maybe we should hurt him, father. Maybe I should blow his worthless brains out. Pulls a gun on him. Father's yelling as he holds Alyssa. You killed her! You killed your sister! But father, Nightmask is whispering in his ear or something. Ah, gun. Grounded for sure on this one, Booger. Underground, you know what I mean? Dead and buried. Don't you feel the little kick inside? Thomas jumps towards his brother. It was an accident. Don't hurt me. You are killer, Thomas. You let her down. You let everyone down. Shoots a couple of rounds at him. Thomas gets to Trip and sort of tears him apart like he's just a stuffed mannequin, as if like someone had taken a suit and filled it with issue number ones of the new universe and then ripped it in half.
An effigy.
An effigy, as it were. I didn't mean to hurt her. I didn't mean to hurt anyone. And as he rips him apart, out of the one half comes a signed picture of to my pal Trip Rambo.
Yeah, that's weird.
So Thomas is still upset. I think his father grabs him. Stop hurting your brother. Why must you hurt everyone around you, son? Is that how I raised you? You did nothing for me. Nothing. He hauls off and whacks his father's head, which goes flying. He is also sort of a stuffed mannequin, except it's stuffed with cash. We have a weird panel, which I was like, is this supposed to be underwater?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the dream world is dissolving, I guess, is kind of how I'm seeing it. Like it's all
It's
kind of like
also good.
blue, layered night
Okay.
mask wrapped around him in a camo outfit, but the body of a snake, naturally.
Oh no. Who is the snake at the end of Night Mask? Dumbala?
Dumbala, yeah.
Is Dumbala taking over Night Mask?
Keith could use a little bit of Dumbala, I think, to sort himself out a little. That was the good spirit.
Yeah, without Ballad and Teddy, I don't know, man. It's a little out of control. Oh, Night Mask continues. What do you say, little Rambo? Time to kick that old door down, yeah. And they head towards a castle, which is, I believe, meant to be his house. Again, there's a cloud over the head overhead, which is yelling, "No!" Thomas is like ready to fight. He's headed towards this castle slash house. Night Mask egging him on. We see more combat around him. Army guys, explosions, tank, fighters overhead. And Thomas is saying to himself, the whole world, which, given that they seem to be, they've been already promoting the war and talking about World War III, I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of saw this one as like he's gotten serious. He's gonna take on his memories head on. So like as he's marching to do battle, like a whole army is kind of there in the scenes and kind of going to war. And then it gets weird.
He busts through a door. Where's mother? She is not ready for you, but I think I am. Another picture on the wall of Stassi and Irene the maid in an even sexier and French maid outfit. Again, I'm not quite sure what, like, she's got a mask or like a metal head or something. And a whip. Put away your toys now, Thomas. It's time to show Irene you can be more man than your father ever was. I already am more than my father ever was because I can care for my friends. I can love them. He pulls her to himself. I'm sure you could, but can you love me, big boy? I'm also a better man than my father because I can say no to you, and he never could. Ouch.
Dang.
She falls down into the arms of Backfire from Medusa Web.
For
Hey,
some
Backfire
reason.
will love you, darling. And Thomas wanders off to his mother. Mother, we have to talk. Mother, put the bottle down. She's like got bottles all over the place, apparently alcoholic, I'm gonna say. And inside the one she's holding, It's our friend Troublemaker from Medusa Web. Don't be so uptight, Boyd. It's me, Troublemaker. Let me out.
Right, he was the one who had the power of being really flexible. So
And
he's all crammed
annoying.
into the bottle and
Yeah.
right, because that makes sense.
So Thomas asks his mother, "It's time we left. He's killing you. This whole place is killing you. We can help you get better. We can both get better." Mother, answer me. And he sees a note in her shirt, and he unfolds the paper, and it just says, "Go ask your father." He says, "This is your answer?" "It certainly is." Nightmask replies, "What do you expect, big baby? You're on your own now." This is the therapist, remember?
Right.
You've always been on your own, right? Let's blow this claim bake and get down and dirty by the highways and byways of La Vida Libre. This is his father again. "You always go where I say, young man. You killed your sister, your mother, and I feel it's best that you leave for a time. We found you the perfect institution. It's called Miles Standish Prep." So remember, Thomas was off at a prep school when the white event occurred.
Also,
And we
keep in
see.
mind, like, the father is there with like a team of people like stitching his head back on.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because
I was like, what are these guys doing?
he got his head punched off earlier in the dream.
There, he's now sitting in a classroom with the other members of Psi-Force, and they all have cool, like, matching jackets. This
Yeah.
is actually the best, coolest thing I've seen so far. They're also sort of the more grown up versions of them, so they're not like the kids that changed with the white event. Let's see, father talks to Nightmask, and then the others are introducing themselves to Thomas with their code names. "Hi, I'm Voyager." "Hi, I'm Healer." "Hi, I'm Salvo." "Or is it Bazooka? Or is it Dynamite? Or is it, hi, I'm Overtime. Hi, I'm Network. Hi, I'm Shockwave." It just, we never had a chance to use the code name, so I'm just taking that chance while I have it.
Yeah, the dream costumes and the code names is the highlight of this issue so far.
I mean, it is it's even better than the Black Powers over in DP7, I gotta tell you. It's got the like pyramid Psyhawk logo in front. Nice.
I like that they
Nightmask.
all have like cool outfits, but like Stassi's got like a Psi-Force turtleneck. It's like, Wayne's got kind of like a punked out like leather jacket with some gloves and some kind of like spikes on it kind of deal. And Thomas has got like some shoulder pads and it kind of looks a little more action. And she's got a turtleneck.
I think they, you see like these collars are larger, and I'm not sure if that's like a style of the time or it just sort of makes them look more muscular. Nightmask ask him where he would rather run away to, San Francisco or Washington, D.C. Not quite sure what he's asking that for. And then he says, "It's time to sink your teeth into the truth, Boydie. Walk the world alone, Tommy. Carry the world as your burden." And we have some images of Thomas in a crowd of people. "What are you doing, Tommy?" "Leeching all the people in the world of their energy." And it's like him glowing with his leeching power, which I think we kind of talked before about, like, could Thomas kill the world? And this is like a vision of that. What if he tried to take all the energy of the world? Well, that would certainly leave you alone, wouldn't it? It certainly would. And that would leave you carrying the weight on your shoulders. You'd think you'd be up for that kind of responsibility, Boydie? Think you can tell all these people they'll be able to depend on you when the going gets tough? And we have Psi-Force and their cool uniforms. And then I'd say Medusa Web behind him. Is anyone else I'm
Yeah.
missing?
The Max suit's there.
Oh.
Rostevow's there. Maybe Jean Proudhawk.
Yeah. It's like some natives.
Skipper. Some
Okay.
that are kind of hard to tell.
Oh, maybe the doctor who was dying. This, yeah. So we got a, like quite a cast of characters that have kind of come and gone in the book. And Nightmask keeps needling him. Fess up, boy. You never had any real responsibilities in your whole life, have you? You killed your sister. You failed to measure up to your brother, and you were a disappointment to both your parents. Ouch.
Jeez.
Then you finally get your big chance. A real cutie of a girl falls in love with you, and you tell her not to worry. I'll protect you. Then you fail. Then Stassi dies. And we have Stassi in the uniform with this cool turtleneck. Honestly, I kind of like that. Ah, man, what is there another word for that? But now she, it's like her hair, but like again, a skull or a whole skeleton, in fact. But the skeleton is saying, it's okay, Thomas, you did the best you could. But then everyone else is yelling at him, but it wasn't good enough. And then Stassi's jawbone just falls off. Nightmask keeps whispering, failure, you're going to be a failure all your life if you keep bottling up all your anger, all your fear, all your hate. You got two choices, let it go on to you forever or let it go. Give them all a kick inside where it digs deepest, bleeds blackest. Do it. Do it. And when you turn the page, we got a like full page splash of Thomas screaming, and it's kind of discorporating Night Mask. Oh God, I hate myself. I'm sorry. And he wakes up. He's again in the examination room. He's looking like he's having a bad time of it. Thomas is asking, "What do you do to me?" And Keith is saying, I'm sorry. Thomas kicks him in the face. You're sorry. You took the only chance I had, the hope that my friends knew how hard I tried, and you killed it. You killed that hope. You did your job, Remsen. It doesn't hurt anymore. I'm sorry. I couldn't control. I thought I could. It doesn't hurt anymore because it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. You have your perfect soldier now. Happy April Fool's Day. Thomas walks outside, looks up in the sky, and there's another Stassi cloud up there. But as he looks, it kind of dissolves, and then the cloud is just dark and empty. He looks and then wipes his eyes, and then at the last image of his, just stoically staring off into the distance. The end.
The end. Though for me, it's a little bit ruined because he looks like a 40-year-old dude instead of like a teenager who's just gone through like a horrible time, like
I
mental
def
trauma.
this your therapy sessions have aged me horribly, Night Mask. I feel like best years of my life were spent on the couch, and now I just don't know what's happened to me at all. Wow.
Is Keith even trying? Like, we didn't get any struggle, mental struggle from him, or trying to take back over, or, stop the Night Mask crazy version from causing this sort of damage. He's just kind of like, hey, let's try again. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Why not? What's the worst that can happen? Yeah, I don't know. He's he might want to strap those patients down if they keep like beating them up when they wake up, but other than that.
Right. Well, I guess he already broke through the divider.
Oh, so let's see. Should we discuss or head straight into the backup story or take a break? Those are our options.
I say let's discuss this one a little bit while it's fresh, and then we'll back it up.
Okay, so I was saying to Andy that the first thing it kind of reminded me of was a movie called Ordinary People from 1980, which is a sort of preppy, waspy family where there's a older brother that was kind of the more successful one. He and his younger brother go out on a boat. There's an accident, and he's killed. And the family kind honestly kind of blames the younger brother. So he's sort of going to a therapist and trying to work out that, which doesn't have the military aspect, but it's a kind of in the in the zone of what I kept, you know, getting out of this story, which is a very messed up childhood, very distant parents, like I say, probably alcoholic mother.
Dad's having an affair with the maid or the nanny character.
Probably the brother, older brother, is in this case very successful, but the younger sister dies. Probably because he was watching her, like it neglected her, or
yeah,
maybe
who
not,
knows?
Just who knows.
It's not explained at all.
And like I say, it's weird. It's just weird to me that they didn't tell him that his friends were alive, just because it's like, it almost seems like that would have to kind of torture the guy. So I'm not sure that the point of it, but
yeah, if they're trying to make him more compliant, like he's got nothing left to lose, or he's not going to try and get away and reunite with them or something, but you know, it doesn't really.
I mean, if anything, he could be crazier than ever. Yeah, I mean, Harlan Mook went off on decidedly lesser circumstances.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping they don't turn him into a remorseless killing machine, which just seems like what they're setting up here. Or maybe if they do, if he at least has some sort of, you know, oh God, what have I done later on, if he finds out that the, you know, his two friends are, all of his friends are in fact still alive.
Yeah, it's so yeah, it's a mystery where this is going. The other thing is, I was trying to remember what like a good dream episode of something was, and Twin Peaks had a, you know, real famous one towards the end of the first season that was, you know, full of these kind of clues of where things were going and everything. That was like a year or two after, I think it was spring 19. Let me see. It was April 1990 when that started. So,
okay.
No influence there.
They didn't watch Twin Peaks and say, well, let's have something that makes less sense.
Let's have a crazy dream thing that, yeah.
Yeah, I
So
struggled with
interesting.
this issue. Like the first read, I was like, what is this garbage? You know, and like the second time around, like trying to sit down and figure it out, you know, I could kind of figure out the relationships and stuff. And then, you know, reading it, looking over again with the podcast, and I'm like, okay, I guess I can kind of see where they're going with all of this. It's just,
it's interesting that they wanted to go in this way, because like you said, we've been saying they want to like pump up the action, pump up the you know, the stakes. And then they like, oh, let's like sidestep it with a dream issue. And
yeah.
Kinda. So, I mean, and that was kind of the whole thing with Night Mask, was it was interesting going into people's heads, but you know, you kind of wrapped up this, you know, whatever their problem was, and there you go. So if your whole thrust of Night Mask now is to create better soldiers, I don't know. If anything, yeah, Night Mask here was kind of acting more like late stage Freddy Krueger, where he becomes kind of a jokester, you know?
Right. Yeah. My theory is it's because of the hair. So you got Keith Remsen acting pretty out of character, right? Like he seems like he just doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's trying to kind of follow these army orders, but like he kind of seems to realize like it's not effective, but he just keeps doing it anyway. And even in the draft, all of his like, okay, this guy's all right, even though like clearly the dreams showed that these characters are all messed up. And then, you know, they were and in combination caused the presidential assassination to go down. But like if the weirdo Night Mask, like Freddy Krueger Plastic Man Night Mask, it's got the hair, right? So like his dream version of himself's got the classic Keith Remsen a little bit longer hair. So I think that's what caused the psychic disconnect. The Night Mask persona is Keith with hair rebelling against lame, now lame Keith without hair.
Nice. I like that. I think
that's what I'm sticking with. That's my headcanon.
I think it's I mean, it's still kind of a, I'm curious like how Keith got into this, because there's definitely a big transition between Keith No, he's like 18, 19 when we left him. He's just, at the clinic with this famous doctor, with his sister, with the delectable Lita Mercado. And now he's been drafted. How did that happen? What did they really want him to do? Now his powers are changing, all of this. It's kind of a moving target, so we'll see where this is going.
Could have been a
Like you
good
say,
backup story
yeah, I'm not
if they
sure you
filled us
could.
in on what happened, with Jack Magna Conti deciding to kind of enlist and become Super American or whatever his name was.
Yeah, Ultra America.
And yeah, I mean, that would be kind of the point of these little backups is, give us a little insight into the canceled book characters and how to bring us up to speed, but instead, it's just kind of,
Yeah.
he's in the army now. He's weird because of the pit.
So I'm not quite sure if they could have, done some, if this is like a transitional thing for Thomas Boyd. I mean, he started already as kind of the danger guy with no feelings. And so
Well, he was
it's
always trying
like,
to help his the team out, like, so he'd go a little off and like not listen, but it would be, to raid the bad guys and, kind of save the day. And he
no, I
was
mean, like
like,
when he was the very first, when he was working for the CIA guy,
oh, right.
he's introduced as a villain, basically. And so
The
he
Psy
sort of already
Stalker.
has, yeah, he already has sort of an arc, redemption arc. So kind of undoing that would be, a negative direction. Not sure, but what have we got? You got a grade for it?
Oh dear. I don't really like it. I get it. It's interesting. I think it makes kind of a fun podcast. I feel like I've been grading lower. I've been really, it may be hurt by the fact that I was really excited to find out what happened. Like, I was waiting a couple issues to figure out what happened to Thomas and what was going on with him. And then we got this kind of like flashback weirdo dream story that was confusing. C, I'll give it a C.
Wow. A minus.
Really?
And I
Is this
love
the furthest apart we've ever been?
probably. I just love the things like the sort of dream imagery, explorations of people's history and mental
Yeah.
state and all that. So I'm kind of into this whatever subgenre I will call it.
Right.
And it worked out well for me. I mean, I'm a little concerned about what, his direction is, because I do kind did kind of like that, like him and Stassi, getting together direction. But overall, I found it like a kind of a like I say a style of story I enjoy, and a pretty done, well done version of that. So I'm happy with it.
All right. Well, that makes one of us.
Always so bitter.
Oh, think I'm bitter.
I gotta let go of the pain myself.
Spiteful, maybe, not bitter.
Okay, do we want a break or do we want to jump into the backup story?
I'm game to keep rolling. Or
On we go.
yeah. More new
Not.
universe all the time.
Woo!
This is a little story we call Mutator and the Three Little Hobos.
Ch-ch-ch-changes.
No, this one's interesting. I don't know if it amounts to much, but it's Mutator, and I liked it better than the Psi-Force issue, but not by much. Howard Mackey wrote this one. I think he had done the last. We had Don Heck with art, which I assume means pencil and inks in this case, because there's no inker. Is this our first Don Heck new universe? I don't recall that name, but I also didn't
He's
look.
like, I mix him up with Herb Trimpey or something. So I, if he was in before, I may have forgotten it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even notice the inking. It's interesting style. I was thinking of sort of a Kubert look to everything.
Yeah. But it starts with kind of a fun opening. So, there's a bunch of guys like in kind of like a back alley. So there's this main guy talking says, "You bums are giving New York an even worse rep than it's already got. Bad enough the city's getting covered with ash from the pit," which is new, right? Ash
Wow.
all over the place. And he's like spraying him with water or gasoline or something like that. He says, "But then again, a little more ash ain't gonna hurt, right?" So it looks like it's a street thug trying to light a hobo on fire is what I'm getting here. And kind of tucked above the panel, you get this little there's three panels and you get three little sub scenes. It looks like, the thing when he wears his like incognito costume with like the big trench coat and the hat, as if somehow that's gonna hide him. But yeah, we got the
But
same kind of look.
he's like in shadow so much that it seems like a Batman coming
Yeah.
or like kind of watching the scene and
Or
getting ready to get
somebody's
involved.
watching the scene with his McGruff the crime dog outfit, and like the eyes are narrowing, like, do I need to intervene here? And then we get a no, and it's the mutator in changes. So mutator, last we left him was flying mutator. Here it looks like, like a Thundercats character almost or something like that. So he looks kind of like Lion Man. He's got leopard spots and a tail. He's like huge, burly. He's got the purple Hulk pants. And then some parts of him have changed kind of like silvery, which is it becomes important. So he kind of yells, screams no, frightens off the or starts to frighten these thugs. But they turn on him. They're like, "Well, looky here, we got us a regular trick-or-treater. Let's do him,"
You got it, Mousy.
which I assume means kill him. And then Mutator's like tough face kind of droops, like, oh. George Mutator is not necessarily like a big tough guy. He's thinking to himself, "What am I gonna do? I hoped I could just scare them off." Like, "Nice cat mask, jerk. After I'm done carving you up, I'm gonna hang your phony tail from my car mirror." So at least this guy's got a car.
Today you would just think it's a cosplay outfit, or he's
Yeah,
a
he's a
furry,
furry.
which yeah wouldn't scare anyone. So
This is less scary than that, I think. So the street thug guy, which is pure 80s street thug, he's got the bandana and like the denim jacket, and like tries to shank him. Was is it? Hang the tail from my car mirror after I steal me a car. So he tries to stab him, but it kind of like just doesn't stick in. It makes like a chink metal sound. Mutator swings and kind of knocks the guy down, all while thinking like, "Oh, my arm's heavy," and like kind of out of control. So this finally kind of scatters the street tough.
Mousy's down. Let's get the rest of the gang.
Yeah,
I like that his name's Mousy. I mean,
that doesn't instill fear, but I guess he's got a knife. So the guy who was in trouble, the homeless man who was about to get lit on fire, stands up. He's like, "Thanks for your help, mister. Name's Harold. Mighty nice gloves you got there. Look like they're solid silver. No wonder that guy hit the sidewalk." So yeah, like his chest, kind of like pectorals, and his hands are silvery and I guess hard like metal if you tried to get stabbed. It's like, "It's getting dark. Those punks are going to be back. Why don't you come back to our place with Brady, Martin, and me?" So we got the hobo squad of Harold in green, who was kind of in trouble and got rescued, Brady and Martin. So.
say it was Martin that was gonna get lit on fire, and the other two were just,
Yeah. You're
I
right.
mean,
Good
they were
correction.
there, but yeah, maybe next in line, I don't know.
Yeah, so the guy threatened was not the one that's the smooth talker. So yeah, they kind of convince him to come back. And George Mutator opens up a little bit, because again, he's kind of explaining why he looks so strange, which is, it's like, "I seem to have that effect on a lot of people. Now that I mention it, you do look a little bit different. Is that a mask or what?" It's like, "I wish it was, Harold. I'm what the newspapers have been calling a paranormal. Like that Starbrand fellow? What are you doing in this ash hole? So again, they're kind of giving like a setting a scene of like an ashy post-apocalyptic kind of area, or like, leading in that direction.
Yeah, we see a note on that in the Universe News as well.
Yeah, so it's like little hints of something going on. So Mutator George kind of explains the his history. He was in the clinic with DP7 in Wisconsin. They're set up to help paranormals. He made some friends, but he left Pittsburgh, got captured from the army, which we saw, though when we saw he just got shot out of the air and fell on the ground. So we didn't know if he was dead or not. But he says, I finally managed to escape and I've been on the run ever since. One good thing about changing looks all the time makes you hard to spot, except that you're a shiny lion man. So you'd be spotted, maybe not recognized.
Who didn't you see him go through here? All we saw was a shiny silver lion man. Well,
Yeah,
why didn't you stop him?
we were looking for a skinny bird man.
Come on, it's not a bird man. We're just
Yeah. So Harold explains that they're draft dodgers, though maybe that's just an excuse for homelessness. I don't know. And they kind of take him into their shack where there's a bunch more of the Bindle and Boxcar types, I suppose. He's like, you'll like it here real good. Everyone's safe here. He's like, listen up, here's our new buddy. What'd you say your name was? He's like, oh, George. It's like George here saved our lives, especially Martin, ungrateful mute that he is. So okay, so he can't talk. So use those silver gloves of his. Don't scratch him, Mabel. And just perks up George and's like, oh, is they're really gonna let me stay here? No questions asked. Maybe I can finally fit in someplace. Yeah, sure, buddy. And 2 hours later, they're scheming about how they're going to steal his silver gloves. I think we get rich with these things. So yeah, they think he's wearing some sort of gear. But we see Mutator kind of sitting off to the side and looking like he's turned a little bit more silver. Yeah, he's like, my body's feeling so heavy. I have to lay down for a while. He says, every 24 hours, my body completely changes its appearance, each time stranger than the last. I don't remember it being quite that fast, but it has been relatively quick. And as he's thinking, kind of talking about the changes, like he loses the hair, like he basically just turns completely metal. He looks like Gladiator from the Starbrand issue, where the guy who was becoming super dense,
Right.
and he's like, my whole body seems to be turning into metal. Like, what happens? How will I move? How will I breathe? How will I live? So he either kind of like falls asleep or can't move, or he's kind of in like a chrysalis, but it's just sitting there now. And the hobos are all have like these evil grins, like, holy cow, I don't believe it. That malarkey about turning into things was true. It's like his whole body of this freak is silver, and like all of the homeless group there is all like super excited with these sort of evil grins. They pick him up and he's like stuck in sitting position, like he's kind of frozen metal solid. You're like, we don't have to sell him, right? What are we gonna do with this? And it's like, we'll just cut him up with a blowtorch we found and sell him one piece at a time. It's like, geez, you did not find a nice home, Mutator. You found slightly less evil hobos, or maybe even slightly more evil hobos. Maybe there's a good reason these guys were gonna get lit on fire.
Yeah, don't be so quick to intervene next time. Who are you to judge? Maybe Mousy was on the right track. He'd met these guys before,
Maybe
and
Mousy was. But
you
Martin,
just cut
who.
up a dude with a blowtorch for the
Right.
sake.
Gross. Nobody's going to question a bum with a silver arm coming into a gold and silver shop, right? Martin, who was the guy who was literally in danger of being set on fire in the beginning, kind of steps in front and is like, stop. He's like, you of all people, you wouldn't even go near the freak. Now you want to save him, and he kind of smacks him out of the way. Martin or Harold lights up his blowtorch. And Martin, the rescued guy, again, kind of gets in the way. He's like, and he finally kind of gives up and just says, no. And this like green poison gas or something comes out of his mouth. So we know why he was mute, I guess. His paranormal knockout gas, something
At least, yeah.
really bad breath, like I don't know. But it thwarts him and puts out the blowtorch all in one fell swoop. He's like, don't know what kind of freak you are, but we're gonna kill you too. He's like, but one of the other homeless guys notices like something weird is going on with George Mutator, and like a giant squid thing like pops out of the silver George's chest. And then all of a sudden, like he's metamorphosed into Squidman. It's like a big, I don't know. This is kind of hard
It's
to
not
describe.
Cthulhu-like. It's like
Yeah.
his whole top half is like a
Right.
squid.
It's like if he dropped an octopus on top of somebody's head. Like, so he has a body and a torso, but this like octopus-like head with all these tentacles coming out that looks terrifying. It's like, leave Martin alone. It's like, he's some sort of human squid. Let's get out of here. It's like, no, you stay. Martin and I will leave. We'll find some place where paranormals can live in peace. So even to the end, like he looks like this horrifying, like nightmare creature that could like tear them apart. But he's still George, and he's like, no, it's okay, guys. We'll just leave. Like, we're not wanted here, you
Guy and low
homicidal
self-esteem
hobos.
George, yeah. Yeah, that's what makes Mutator kind of a strange character, because he's like so, oh guys, don't mind me, please, you
I'll
know.
just sacrifice myself. I'm useless anyway. At least the bullets will, sl them having to stop to shoot me will slow them down a little bit.
I mean, thinking back, I can't, did people like gangs or bums in New York City at the time? I can't imagine either of those was popular. So I don't know. I'm kind of seeing like a trend, like I say, into horror. This feels like a bit like an EC horror, like short story.
Yeah, and that definitely matches with the last backup we got of the
The
horrible
family,
like family blob thing, which is this feels a little more upbeat.
little, yeah.
Just because George is such a nice guy that turns into a horrifying monster.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nightmare of like people threatening to cut your body up while you're like unable to move. But yeah, it's I don't know. I'm not too into the like. New York is now the refuge of paranormals, because it would have been, I don't know, easier to blow up New York and have everyone move to Pittsburgh, but that's just me.
Yeah, or New Jersey, you know, turn that into a cesspool.
It is, I mean, it's a fun, zippy little story. I mean, I don't think Mutator's power should transmute elements, though. You know?
Yeah, he was very biological before.
You would just be like a spider guy, an underwater guy, a bird guy. But yeah, like creating silver seems a bit like of a stretch. So.
Right. But it could just be shiny, you know, it's like
Yeah,
the
they don't have.
iridescent wings of a moth or something, you know, like just because it looks silver and is hard doesn't mean that it's not biological, right? You know, it could be more like a carapace or something.
I mean, you've got a lot of samples of elements to show your classes, and they all, I mean,
They're all
who's to say
silver.
which one's the silver one? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's curiosity. I don't know
Yeah,
what to say.
it's weird because like seeing Mutator again is fun. It's dark, right? It's like weirdly dark, but softened a little bit just because George is It's kind of a softy kind of thing, but yeah, I don't know. I hope all of these little interludes aren't all little micro horror stories about how the world's going to crap. I
Yeah.
suspect we might be headed in that direction, but
I do kind of like that he finds a friend, the like two paranormals take off and
yeah.
he's a little idealistic about it, but okay. At
I
least
still kind
Martin
of
won't
like
chew
the
your ear
idea
off.
that maybe Mutator evolves into whatever he needs at then any given moment, and he just doesn't quite realize that. I'm
Okay.
not sure that the creators have planned that out or not. I could see Grunwald maybe having that in his back pocket, but it seems like he needed to dig around and find shelter. He turned into a mole, right? They need to escape or see where they are. He turns into a flying thing. Right, he needs to scare away some. He's not violent, but he needs to scare away some people. It didn't really work with the lion thing, so now he's turned into an eldritch horror or something, right? So it kind of works.
Yeah. So I don't know. We don't really need a grade for that, I guess.
I don't think so. No, but we do get on the next page a peek of the next issue. Of Psi-Force, at least, where maybe we got some reuniting happening.
So I think that says Ryan. So maybe a Paul Ryan there.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
man.
We it's a nice when I saw this I was like pose off. You've got Pitbull and Mastodon all kind of flexing and Thomas and Wayne and Tyrone kind of looking like they're pulling some dance moves. I don't know. Should be
It
fun.
does.
We've got a ad for the Evolutionary War, which is going on in the mainline titles that summer.
Don't think I
And
read any of that.
I know I've read some of them, but I mean, it's one of those things where it's like you've got the High Evolutionary versus the Avengers, and it's all very kind of high level stuff. And then it kind of breaks down into like the Punisher fighting a robot. I'm not quite
Yeah.
sure
Do
how that connects.
you have any idea who that guy is in between like Silver Surfer and the Super Skrull with the
Oh,
terrible
that's
costume?
Icarus from the Eternals.
Okay.
Yeah. And the X Factor, it's Apocalypse wailing on the High Evolutionary, which I can imagine would be an interesting fight.
Right.
And then I think we'd sort of alluded to it because I got a peek ahead of time. We've got an ad for the further adventures of the new universe. They'll need to endure the draft to survive the war. And it's Gridlock, Blowout, Nightmask, and Metallurgist. And the draft from Marvel, the war coming this summer.
Yeah, and this reminds me, in the beginning we talked about how like I had my family guess, because the previous ad was who which one of these is going to try to assassinate the president, and both my wife and my oldest son guessed Gridlock. I guessed Blowout. Ding 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 ding. I didn't know, and then you abstained because you kind of already knew.
I did remember that Blowout goes nuts. So yeah, it's they all have buzz cuts now in this picture, so
Yeah.
all look the same. Okay.
If any of those characters interested to see more Metallurgist and his flying hubcap.
Good stuff. Let's see. The Universe News has a clipping of the weather report. Continued cloud and ash cover throughout the tri-state area. Snow developing towards evening, mixed with volcanic ash. Snow will continue through tomorrow, with some clearing by late afternoon. It's for April 14th, 1988.
Right, snow in April would be doable, but a little late.
So I think this is a bit of a also a memory of Mount St. Helens erupting in, oh, what
That
was that,
was straight
82?
1980, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was let's see, when did it go off? 82 or 80?
I'm on a roll, so maybe it's 80. I was wrong about INXS,
I
though.
in March 20, 1980, there's an earthquake and venting started. And in May 18th, I think it went. Yeah, erupts on May 18th, 1980. Because I remember there was volcanic ash throughout the whole, like, half of the country. You got like this, it didn't look like much more than like the pollen you get in the spring, some places. But, people were concerned.
It's an interesting way to kind of go about the storytelling, right? So if like we're learning about what's going on in the world just through like a throwaway line in a backup story in one issue, and then like this little Universe News weather report kind of thing. So like I don't know if it's kind of cool, like secret kind of puzzle it together kind of stuff, or if maybe they should have been a little more obvious about it. Like they did a nice job in the other issues talking about Starbrand and like the superhero thing, however short-lived that was. Like he was kind of mentioned throughout all the books and things. Where is it? And they did a good job with the draft. Are they gonna start talking about like the pit again and the ash and the problems? We haven't really gotten much of that yet.
I'm thinking that there will have people moving to New York, or at least going through New York soon. So we'll see more of this. Although what the timeline on that is, I couldn't even guess.
No, well, I mean, we could guess,
Well, I
but
could, but I don't want to
probably
be the
before the war.
This is true. Let's move on out of this episode. I think we've covered enough ground for today.
Agreed. Do. Yeah, so I guess so that's it for today. After the draft, the new universe finally modified their release schedules to come out sort of at a one at a week pace, which is what we've been doing for our podcast releases. So instead of the layover, instead of the kind of layover version from the original schedule, so to follow along, we'll be covering the issue released the next week. So no Justice this time. Next time, the new universe checks in on our displaced paranormals. Plus a cast of thousands, DP7 number 22.
Yeah, for us it was kind of more of like pacing off single titles versus team titles. So Justice and DP7 were just kind of alternating from Psi-Force, but they started going through a whole like monthly schedule where it just goes Psi-Force, next week DP7, next week Justice. And then maybe next week, Starbrand, if that was the right month for it. So next time, will DP7 number 22 at last learn what's happened to all your favorite new universe characters since the Pit disaster? The Kickers, Jack Magna Conti, leader of a paranormal force, Nightmask, a psychologist for the army, plus the return of Bloodhound, and DP7 drafted. Is DP7 ready for the army? More importantly, is the army ready for them? Army Dreamers is written by Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, inked by Danny Bulinotti.
It kind of makes it sound like they're going for like a goofball comedy. Like, let's see what these wacky paranormals are going to do in the army.
I
Drive
like the
their
implication
sergeant
that anyone
crazy.
cares about the return of Bloodhound.
Yeah. Also, we already know all of those things because it's been covered in other stories, right? Like,
That was the weird thing about the draft was like, does this, when does this, happen versus these other stories? So, well, more clarity will come next week, I guess.
hopefully it will. In the meantime, check us out, www.kickersinc.com. You can email us, compete with the spammers trying to sell our podcast or trying to get us to pay them to advertise our podcast. newuniversepodcast@gmail.com if you want to drop us a line. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
I was doing my job. I didn't think it would go as badly as it did.
We never do.